Hey, everybody, and welcome to Finish It, Noel.
Mini, mini, crush, crush. Mini, mini, crush, mini, crush. It's Friday, but it's Monday for you.
Yeah, Friday, man. It's not our usual Wednesday slot.
I know, and I always say that this is like such a great day to start the day. It's even better a way to start a Friday, which is already like the win day of the week. You know?
Right?
Right.
Friday's win day.
You've made it.
Not Wednesday.
No, it's win day.
Win day. I like that. That's a t-shirt. Every day is win day at Mini Crush.
How are you doing, Chuck?
I'm good, dude. We need to catch up a bit because it's been a couple of weeks.
You were out west.
Yeah, I got back from L.A.
Standing on the Queen Star on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, that's right over near our studio, which is very convenient.
Cosmo area.
Yeah, right, over. Here's what you do next time you go there, Noel. Stay in the Dream Hotel, which I think you have.
Yep.
And then get a breakfast burrito at Dos Burritos on Hollywood Boulevard.
Which means two burritos.
But just get one.
Okay.
Because they're huge.
I bet. They usually are, yeah.
Get the Hungry Man. That is chorizo and ham and bacon. Tell them to add potato.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's a bonus. That's a requested addition.
Walk over to the studio, which is right around the corner.
Yeah.
And then just have your day.
Do the day. Yeah. I like our studios over there. Nice view. Nice views of the Scientology building.
It's cool.
Yeah.
They got three full rooms now, you know?
That's right. And one
including
of them is like
big
conference room with mics, like a whole studio setup, right?
Yeah. And that everyone is, it's just to accommodate a lot of people, but they are utilizing it to the max right now because our buddy Kevin Pollak records his improv show, Alchemy This, in there.
Right.
And there are six of them, I believe.
That's great.
So, and they do live music. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, they got a dude in there that's doing like improvising little music
that's
to go with the scenes.
Man, we have so many new shows.
How cool is that?
I need to check that show out.
It's really funny. It's really, really good. Very, very talented improvisers because improv can be dodgy.
It can.
But these are like masters.
Good. And you were out there doing some Movie Crush secretive work?
Yeah. Well, not secretive. I already posted the picture, everyone. I really went out there because I wanted to meet Ben Sinclair.
That's right.
Of High Maintenance.
High Maintenance, which is a show you've always been a huge fan of. Right?
Yeah. And I've been bugging them for a year, and it finally came through, and they're like, we can do a phoner. And I was like, no, I'm coming.
Nice.
And it was surreal and weird because, like, I love that show. I love that character. And it turns out Ben Sinclair is a lot like him.
That's great.
So I felt like I was in an episode of High Maintenance, which is so cool.
It's like High Maintenance, the podcaster edition.
Yeah.
That's great.
You never know. He might write me in.
That's
and I also, guess what he said when I met him? He went, do you watch the show, by the way, High Maintenance?
I've seen a couple episodes, yeah.
No, that is the show that you should watch more than anything.
I'm on it.
Like, that is a Noel, made for Noel Brown show.
Got it.
They might as well call it For Noel.
Okay.
Instead of High Maintenance.
All right. So what happened?
He said, hey, man, I used to listen to Stuff You Should Know, like, all the time a few years ago when I was a shusher at a lesbian poetry bar.
A shusher?
That's what I said. And he went, yeah, you know, it was a poetry bar, so I had to hang out and, like, shush everybody. And he was a shusher.
Oh, my God.
But he's like, I listened to you, and I said, Josh, you went, yeah. He's like, he's still listening to you guys all the time. He said, I haven't lately, but he was like, I always wonder what you look like, and I never knew you had the beard. And I'm freaking out, of course.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, why don't you people ever send an email?
That's amazing.
You like, they have no idea what that means.
Absolutely.
You know, when someone you really admire likes your work, it's a big deal.
It's very true.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. What did I do? I went out to New York during like the first snow of the season.
You were
got
in New
to
York.
Fly in, was like blanketed in snow. That was
nice.
Pretty cool.
New York is nice in the snow.
It was neat, but then of course what happens is it inevitably just melts into slippery gray sludge.
New York is awful.
And then it's not nice anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I had a nice solo walk around in Chinatown by myself.
Oh, Chinatown's
I had
the
a
best.
Really nice time, like just walking around in the snow by myself that first night I was there. And got to see our offices out there. And
yeah.
We had some new hires that I went and hung out with and trained up a little bit and had a few meetings. And it was really cool, man.
They called in the ninja.
Yeah.
They needed you up there.
Yeah, they needed me.
Train them up, Noel.
And I had to train them up. I did it like Morpheus style, like in the Matrix. I just plugged in a thing, and then they're like, I know Adobe Audition.
But did they take the blue pill?
I forget. I always mix up the blue and the red pill. One is DayQuil and one is NyQuil.
Is that what they used?
Yeah. That's what I associate with.
Yeah, I don't remember which is which either. Yeah. I would take the wrong pill by accident.
I think, the red pill is the one that gets you woke.
Oh, is it?
If you get, like, that's even like a term. Like, you get red pilled, that means you're like, your eyes are open. So when you take the red pill, that's the one that wakes you up to the, you know, the lies
sure.
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you watched that Coen business? That was fun. Some good popcorn viewing.
I did watch some of it.
Okay. We don't have to get all political, but I found it quite entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, who's going to play that guy in the movie?
Maybe like...
Oh, how about Henry Winkler?
Henry Winkler. He's a little
He's
old.
He's too old.
He's too old. They could young him up a little bit, you know?
He kind of looks a little like him, though.
He does a little bit. Dude, the best part, though, was he's like... I'll tell you who would know about this is Mr. Trump's associate, Alexander Calamari. Yeah.
Well, have you seen that's lit up on the internet now?
Yeah, dude. But it sounds like a character off of Arrested Development or something like that. Yeah. You know, it's like this made-up name.
One tweet that said something about like
– I think it's Matthew Calamari.
Matthew Calamari. Yeah. This one tweet said something about best first draft character name of all time.
I saw that one. And I saw one with like a crab smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
And it says Matthew Calamari. I haven't heard that name in a long time. Which is like a meme already. You know, just,
oh, the crab with the cigarette?
Anything smoking a cigarette. Like, it's like, I haven't heard that. Like, it'll be like a mop and then it'll be like.
Oh, really?
You know, I don't know. Like,
oh, I love it.
Bucket. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
God, you know, man. It's so as stupid. Much as I hate the internet, that dumb shit just like kills me.
You hate the internet, Chuck?
Yeah, dude.
This is new information.
Come on.
I love the internet. No, I know. No,
I do love the internet.
Of course. But it's a cesspool of, it's like a,
love it and hate it.
What is it? A hive of scum and villainy, you know?
Did you just make that up?
No, that's from Star Wars, Chuck.
Jesus. I'm so not on my game.
That's from Harry Potter.
So, yeah, recorded with Ben. It was great. Recorded a show with Jordan Morris of Jordan Jesse Go. He's a writer at Midnight.
Oh, cool.
He produced and created the great scripted sci-fi wacko comedy podcast Bubble.
Oh, yeah. I have not heard it, but I'm aware of its reputation.
You should check out Bubble.
Being quite
it's good stuff.
Yeah.
And hopefully Jordan's going to do some shows with us.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, we're getting a little scripted comedy thing going.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Got my fingers crossed. So before we get going with the episode, though, we were getting coffee.
Yeah.
And I was rounding the corner. He said, I saw a batshit movie last night called 10 to Midnight Bronson. And I went, save it.
Oh, dude. First of all.
Because I know 10 to Midnight.
I got it based exclusively on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like one of these neon kind of like this guy with a knife and his back
totally
turned and
the
silhouette. Uh-huh. And everything is all like neon. It's like,
and he's like
LA
back.
Cityscape. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, and it says Charles Bronson. And I'm like, this looks cool.
Yep.
And it was in the, like, it was a new Blu-ray reissue edition. So I'd rented it, like, at a proper,
I went to Videodrome.
Yeah,
oh, nice.
And I rented
it. Of course,
where else? And it was just great. It's about, like, this weird, kind of, like, awkward, socially awkward, yet good-looking killer.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know,
the
weathered, grizzled Charles Bronson that's on his, you know, doggedly pursuing him or whatever.
Yeah.
And it has some amazing lines.
Oh, dude. All right. So my friend Mike Anderson, who was just on for Vernon, Florida,
uh-huh.
10 to Midnight is one of the movies that we often throw out a few, like, classic lines. And, of course, one of the big ones is when he's interrogating this character.
You know what that's for?
It's for chicken off! So great.
Yeah, so he finds Bronson, like, very sneakily, like, uses the killer's restroom when they're, like, you know, interviewing him for the first time. And he finds this thing that looks like a hairdryer.
Yeah.
But with this weird prosthetic vagina. I don't know. It's sort of like,
well, that's
a,
what it is. I mean, some antiquated male vibrator.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That you stick your wiener in.
And he's, I don't know. First of all, where does he put it
right.
to sneak it out of there? Because he doesn't have a bag or anything. He has to, like, put it in his jacket.
Yeah, yeah.
He takes it, obviously. Or maybe once they haul him in, then they go back and you know, get all the stuff.
I don't remember where it happened, but that line, Mike and I still say that to each other.
It's for jacket off!
It's for jacket off! And the whole reason he does that, just in context, is because this guy's crimes are very, like, sexually, you know,
yes.
perverse in nature.
And also, clearly the dude has a hard time getting a woman, even
sure.
though he's an attractive dude. You see him, like, fumbling, just really, like, he's one of these, like,
yeah.
I don't know, almost like the incel thing or, like, the crazy ones that actually go and do killings.
Yeah,
he's,
yeah.
like, that kind of proto that scene or whatever. But, man, it's a...
Well, the other line, too, that follows that one that Mike always does, go, yeah, got it at a bullfight in Tijuana.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there's so many. Oh, the best part, too, is when they're in his apartment and the guy's walkie-talkie goes off and he goes, sorry, what is it? Miracle of Modern Science.
It's a good watch, man. I'm glad you saw that.
Yeah, it really is. And also the fact the killer strips completely naked when he does his killings. Yeah. And he does it like instantly.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes he's from clothes to full
got,
nude.
Like, the tearaways.
Just instant. Yeah. It's,
in the whole like ending of the movie, he's naked out in the street, right?
Yeah.
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 So good.
That's the cover. That's like the literally the cover of the movie is him naked in the street with a knife.
Yeah.
And that's how the big big showdown happens with him and Bronson.
And they'll give you three guesses who wins.
Exactly.
You're going to eat some cold steel, naked man.
All right. So, Noel, the theme of this episode is the worst.
Well, that was a good way to start it then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm theming it up.
I love it.
For some reason. I think because there's been so much Oscar stuff lately. Let's talk about the worst things.
We should talk about Green Book. Apparently, it's awful.
I saw it. I saw all those movies, by the way.
Well, I just want a real quick hot take on Green Book because I saw some clips and it seems not good.
My real quick hot take was, and you can hear it on the Oscar special, Emily and I liked it fine, but it was really just sort of, and now I'm realizing what bugged me about it, because I didn't read any of the complaints before. It's kind of what bugged me was just sort of the glossy, superficial, like Hollywood-y version of it, where if it was more real character-wise, mm-hmm. it would have been a lot better.
It seemed very acted to me. I know that's sort of like a weird, hollow complaint.
No, I know
it
just, what you
it
mean.
Seemed very like, you
I mean,
know.
Viggo Mortensen was, he had to play that like mafioso type. So it was weird seeing him do that.
Yeah.
For me.
Did you know one of the Farrelly brothers directed that?
Yeah,
like
Peter.
Of Something About Mary fame? I had no idea. I found that out yesterday.
Yeah, he's also under heat because his deal was he used to pull his dick out.
Oh, one of those.
He apparently did it like at least 100 times over the years on set.
Okay.
But his whole deal was always, I mean, it's just a joke and everyone's laughing about it. And it's like, well, I know. It's one of those
You're
things.
You're the boss, though.
I know.
Man. I mean, I know. Come on. Of course they're going to laugh.
He feels, you know, he has come out and been like, it's the worst thing. I now see what an awful thing that was.
Yeah.
Back then it was just a joke. And like, you know, he pulled his dick out and showed Cameron Diaz, you know, and
yeah,
Something About Mary.
No.
And she laughed about it. But
again, that's the position of power. Blah,
it's,
blah,
it's
blah.
It's a whole
That
whole
is, Chuck,
deal.
You know what that is? That's the worst. Here you go.
So
it back to you.
What we did, Noel, was a social studies trifecta because we're going to let you all program the worst. And we're starting out with worst accent you've ever heard in a movie. You think about yours, unless you know a few off the top of your head.
I mean, there's some obvious ones.
Off the dome, as you say.
I'd like to go a little deeper with it. I read some, and there's some fun ones in here, yeah.
Oh, you did read some of these? All right. So we're going to start at the top with Sabrina Mara Firminger. Kevin Costner in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
That's the one. That's the one everyone says. And that was
she got the most uplikes.
Very true.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. And that one was bad for a lot of reasons, but one big reason was because it kept shifting. It was not consistent.
Right. And there's that line in Robin Hood, Men in Tights with Cary Elwes where he's like, and unlike other Robin Hoods, I can speak with an English accent.
Right. Brad Twining says Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's. That's an obvious, like,
racist, gross one.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a bad accent for
the one we plays, like,
different
a very stereotypical Asian man.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's not good.
That used to happen, though, man. I'm not saying it's great, but, like, he always gets called out, but that happened a lot.
Oh, of course. Even later. Like, the dude.
Catherine Hepburn did it.
Catherine Hepburn did it, and the dude that was in Short Circuit, the robot movie. Who plays an Indian character?
He played an Asian robot?
No, but he's a white dude who they Indianed up. And
put
makeup on him and did the accent. Why? That's such a weird choice.
Just
anyway.
Get an Indian guy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's so infuriating about all that shit is. It's like, no, there are super talented people of all races.
Well, but even
just cast them.
It's only recently that you've had like Hasan Minhaj and Kumail Nanjiani, people of like Asian and Middle Eastern descent, really getting higher profile projects in Hollywood and shows.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly still kind of working its way out.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you seen the trailer for the new Danny Boyle movie about the Beatles not existing?
It's a weird concept. It's like
everyone that has seen that concept that has ever tried to write a movie is mad right now that they didn't think of that.
Yeah.
It's such a good idea.
All right. I'll check out the trailer. I haven't seen it.
If you guys don't know, the movie's called Yesterday, and it's a movie about this – something happens one night in London, and all the power goes out, and this guy wakes up, I believe, of Indian descent perhaps, and he – that's what made me think of it. And he – the Beatles don't exist. He's the only person who knows the Beatles songs, and he's a musician, struggling musician. So you can guess what happens from there.
Yeah, he obviously becomes like a massive rock star, I guess. That's in the trailer. I do remember seeing that. It looks super cool.
It looks great.
Yeah.
Ian Cruz says, Dennis Quaid in The Big Easy. Cringe. Toby Ziegler says, Meryl Streep, a dingo took my baby. What? Come on.
She really said that?
Yeah, that's from that movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought that was just a thing people made up and said. Like,
no.
I didn't know. What movie?
I can't remember the name of it. It was the one where the true story about the dingoes that took the lady's baby in like rural Australia.
What
or
is this? I do not know. I'm sorry. You don't have to go into it. I got to look this up on my own.
I can't remember the name.
I am not aware of this at all. I love it, though.
Anthony Knorr says, a tie between Winona Ryder and Keanu Reeves and Bram Stoker's Dracula. Yeah, good point. Amanda Dillinger, Matthew McConaughey in every movie ever. Burn! Greta Koenig says, pretty much everyone who tries to do a Boston accent. All right. Janet James Allman, on that note, says, everyone in The Departed. Come on, Marky Marks was pretty good. He's legit.
He kind of talks like that.
Matt Damon is too.
Yeah.
They're both Boston guys.
I think the problem is that that accent is just so outlandish and ridiculous that it always sounds like kind of put on.
I know, but I hear that accent when I'm up there.
Of course you do, because it's a thing.
None of them think they talk that way, though.
They don't.
It's like me saying, I don't have a Southern accent.
Well, you kind of
do. Sure, I have a little bit, though.
Yeah, you code switch a little bit, maybe, with like people that have deep Southern accents. But you don't typically really come off as Southern.
Former guest Ben Acker gives me a hard time every time I say that. And he like really plays it up like I'm super hick. And he's like, what? He's like, you kidding me? He's like, yeah, you don't have an accent.
You from Memphis, Tennessee.
That's what it sounded like.
That's funny.
Bruce Dimmer said, Carrie Fisher in Star Wars. Yeah, I mean, that famously kind of floated between British and British.
Is that right? That never occurred to me. I always just thought of it as being more of like
a
mid-Atlantic accent kind of, like an erudite kind of like high society person.
Well, the beginning of the movie, she is much more Lord Vader. She's much more sort of...
Okay. I'll have to look for that. No, I've never noticed that.
That's interesting. I'm surprised you never heard anyone talk about that.
I've not.
I mean, I know it's no Harry Potter, but...
No.
Mark Mayhew says, everyone in 300, the Greeks and Persians, what's with all the British accents? That's an old thing, though, you know? Jessica Worley says, Scarlett O'Hara... A guilty pleasure movie, but so overdone. Jacqueline Gulbranson, Drew Barrymore in Ever After, but I love the movie anyway. Parker Norris is Don Cheadle in Ocean's 11. Oh, I love that accent in Ocean's 11. Don Cheadle plays kind of like the Cockney.
Yeah, he does the whole like Barney thing. Like,
you're
in Barney.
Maybe it wasn't like super accurate, but I just like hearing Cheadle speak that way.
That movie was also like kind of schlocky and stylized anyway. Like it wasn't meant to be like a hyper realistic movie.
No.
I enjoyed it.
Kuntz, our old friend, says, Robert De Niro, remake of Cape Fear. Definitely not the worst, but it's a mindfuck. or Leo in Blood Diamond. I never saw Blood Diamond. I don't know how that one got away from me. Did you see that?
No. Is that Leonardo DiCaprio?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's about like the diamond mining in Africa, I want to say.
I don't know where, but
yeah.
Blood Diamonds.
Blood Diamonds. Not,
I don't know
not
what that
good.
Means.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Abby Zakos says, Tarantino and Django. Oh, hell yeah. That was the worst thing ever. Jimmy Kuykendall says, DiCaprio and Blood Diamond. Apparently it's not a good accent, Noel. Katie Thomas says, anything based in New Orleans, and also, I'm from New Orleans. I just made up that second part, though. Dave Watson, Eric Bana's American accent in any movie he's ever done. Jessica Rubinstein, Mark Wahlberg in every role ever. Man, people are killing people. That's what this is about. Coop. Aaron Cooper says, Cary Elwes in Twister, worst Okie ever. Interesting. Was he doing an Oklahoma accent?
I didn't even remember that he was in that movie, dude. I swear.
Yeah, he plays the bad guy that leads the other super funded team.
Okay.
That has all the money.
That makes sense.
That's like just ganking off their storm chasing.
Yeah, he's just chasing. He's hanging on to their... coattails. They're storm tails.
You know who loves that movie?
Who?
My wife.
Really?
Isn't that weird?
Well, I mean, who is it? Is that Jan de Bont?
Yeah.
Jan de Bont? It's fun to say. He's a bon vivant, that Jan de Bont.
Oh, that was such a great dad joke. You really got me there.
Well.
It's weird that Emily likes that. Like, my big joke is Emily's favorite movie is every indie movie ever in Twister.
In Twister. That's funny. I just remember the flying bad CGI cow.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
Loretta Lynn, our old pal, says, Rosanna Arquette, French accent attempt in the whole nine yards. I didn't see that movie. Jake Hale says, Johnny Lee Miller and Hackers. Our old friend Zach Pointer says, James McAvoy and Wanted. Brian Myers Valongo says, Tom Cruise in Far and Away. Yeah, that wasn't great. Marcus Noble says Christopher Walken is crazy Irish uncle in Eternal. In The Eternal? I don't know that movie.
But crazy Irish uncle sounds like it has potential for being a bad accent if you're not an Irish person.
Sure.
It.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I'm ignoring this because someone's just bagging on me. Diana Gay says Prince Caspian in Prince Caspian. I couldn't even finish the movie. Joette Adams says anyone in any Stephen King movie ever.
What? Well, I mean.
Oh, because they're supposed to be from Maine or whatever?
So, I mean, you know, what's his name? Who was it? Fred Gwynn? Was he Herman Munster?
Yeah.
Is that the actor's name?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
In Pet Sematary, which I think I've said on the show many times, really fucked me up as a kid. I saw it way too young. But he's he does that, that what is it, Maine
the,
accent?
The one line.
Don't go to the road, Lois. The soil is sour.
But generally, Stephen King movies, they don't all talk like that, though.
No, but a lot of his movies are set in Castle Rock.
No,
you know,
they sure are.
So there's, you know, I mean, it's certainly in Needful Things. Not so much Misery, but there's definitely a lot of the – because you think about
– Misery had a little bit of that
in
the side characters.
The side – like the shopkeepers and things like that. You're right. The thing about Stephen King movies is many of them are quite bad and quite like low budge and it's not very well thought out. And so you have a lot of scenery chewing.
We should do
movies.
A Stephen King special.
Round up. Yeah.
And just like kind of list out all his movies and put them in one of two camps.
Yeah, because you've got the TV movies.
Because some of them are really good and some of them
for
are
sure.
not.
And the funny thing is the ones that are really good are usually the ones that he like kind of disowns.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He doesn't like Kubrick's Shining at
sure.
all.
I've never read a Stephen King book.
What?
Never read. I've never been into that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I got into.
I should
it
read The Shining.
Young. Shining's cool. A lot of them are. They're all good stories. Like, I mean, he's got a series called The Regulators and Desperation that are two kind of like sister books where the characters are connected. And I really recommend those.
Yeah, all right.
They're more recent. They're maybe from like the late 90s, early 2000s.
All righty, I'll give it a try. Noel, I haven't read a book in a little while.
I haven't either.
Tabitha Williams Hughes says Natalie Portman in V for Vendetta. Don Cheadle's getting killed again.
For Oceans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Sean McNamara, Brad Pitt, his German accent in Legends of the Fall. Totally. Brad Pitt doesn't accent it up well. Brad Pitt's Australian accent in 7 Years in Tibet is atrocious. That's from Bobby Bryant.
Wait, why does he have a German accent in Legends of the Fall? I thought they were American.
I don't remember that movie. I mean, yeah. I saw it, but it was so long ago.
Yeah. I just remember Anthony Hopkins goes deaf and has to write everything. Or he has like a stroke and he has to write everything on a chalkboard that's around his neck. I remember that part.
Yeah, I don't remember
that.
It
doesn't matter.
I don't remember that at all. All right, we're going to finish with Chris Thompson, Will Smith in After Earth, which I did not see. Does he say, welcome to After Earth, and
no,
punch an alien?
That'd be funny, though. There are aliens in that movie. I think that was sort of like a vehicle for his son, Jaden. And isn't it a Shyamalan?
A Shyamalan?
A Shyamalan?
What, is that a Shyamalan?
Is that an M. Night? No, I think that is. It's one of his, like, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. One of his super bombs.
Exactly.
All right, we're moving on. Social Studies Part 2, The Worst. Favorite bad movie. You know what I mean. Because you know, Noel, we can all get down with a fun bad movie.
Big time.
Megan Carroll says Elizabethtown. It's a hot mess, but it reminds me of home, and it has a killer soundtrack. I get that. If you're from E-Town or anywhere around there, you're going to give that movie a bit of a swing, I would say. Joey Marek says Idiocracy.
I mean...
Is that a bad movie, though?
I don't think that's in the spirit of the question here. I
Maybe
think
that's, not.
You know, it's a funny movie. It's a sort of a stupid comedy, but now it's been turned out to be quite prescient, didn't it? You know,
I think so.
Yeah.
John B. McCarty says, Starship Troopers, hands down. Tina Cheever says, Dude, Where's My Car? There are a few parts of that movie that I still think are really, really genuinely legit funny. Greta Koenig says, Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. That's a guilty pleasure. I don't think that's a bad movie. The Labyrinth.
What?
Samantha Sarks. Wonderful 80s movie. Full of David Bowie's bulge.
That's also true. You know those weird like glass balls that he kind of like rotates around in his hand?
Yeah. He had
I think he keeps
model.
Those in his pants. And then. Okay.
Kuntz is back. She says The Rock and The Cutting Edge. I don't even know that movie. Is it about
like a
ice skating
movie?
It's got to be, right? Yeah. It's got to be.
Has to be.
Jenna Van Valen, Howard the Duck.
Apparently they're adapting that to be a TV series.
Yeah?
Howard the Duck, the TV series, yeah.
Jeez.
I want to say Kevin
Smith.
Because
that was a comic, right?
Well, I think it was a comic before. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And Kevin Smith, I think, has something to do with it.
Well.
So that could go any number of ways.
David Mills says Flash Gordon. Yeah, I think that counts.
Mm-hmm.
So bad it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Buck says Hot Rod. I never saw that.
That's one of those Lonely Sandberg. Island. Yeah.
I bet it's funny enough.
I'm sure it is. I've actually heard that it's quite funny.
Kira Hawkins says Twister. Yep, I know what you mean. Tyler McBee says MacGruber. I don't know why I haven't seen that movie.
I haven't either.
I loved MacGruber on SNL. And I love Forte.
Does it seem like maybe it would wear thin over the course of a feature? Like
it's Kristen Wiig, maybe, but yeah, I've heard it's really good.
I'd like to see it.
All right, Noel, we got to take that movie camping with us.
I agree. Oh, man. Can't wait.
Carl Soderberg says Kicking and Screaming, of course, the Will Ferrell soccer movie. Anthony Norris says Satan's Cheerleaders, 70s exploitation film.
See, that's what we're talking about. Now we're getting into it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. People are getting guilty pleasure confused with bad movie.
I think so, too.
Like, for instance, Jupiter Ascending.
Right.
That got such bad press that my buddy Scotty and I were like, oh, let's go. Just to watch it.
Sure.
And we had a ball.
Yeah, they did that on How Did This Get Made? And it seems spirit. It seems like a... But it's so funny when there are these like really high budget tentpole bad movies like that where you're like, how did this happen? Like how did they greenlight this?
Yeah,
it's another thing when like they spend no money. Yeah, I know, right?
That's why.
Yeah. Like Zero to Midnight, perfect example because it's clearly kind of cheap and it's just like everything falls into place. It's so of its time, you know.
What's Zero to Midnight?
I'm sorry, beep. It's like 10 to midnight. I keep calling it Zero to Midnight. That means what is that? That means midnight. Beep.
They'll leave all that in.
All right.
I've already beeped.
All right, I'm leaving it in.
Yeah, leave the beep in.
All right, go ahead.
All right, let's finish with just a couple of more of these. Dirty Dancing 2 from Rachel Korsten. Yeah, I imagine that's probably not great.
Do you know Peter Sagal wrote that as a different thing? And then
Peter Sagal of
Wait, Don't Tell Me.
What?
He wrote the script that was based on, and then it got bought by a studio who had the rights to Dirty Dancing.
And then adapted his
Cuban dancing story that was a romance into Dirty Dancing 2 Havana
Weird.
Nights. I heard him talk about it on NPR. It's fantastic.
What a crazy story. Tina Wright says The Craft. John Millsap says Ed Wood's classic Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Mm-hmm.
Was Alyssa Milano in The Craft?
No. She was in Charmed, which is a television show.
Oh, right.
That was like on the WB that
makes me think of The Craft.
Looks like The Craft, yeah.
She was just on the plane with me yesterday.
Just randomly.
Yeah, and she had her sort of comfort dog or whatever. It was pretty great. It was one of the larger comfort dogs I've seen.
Oh, really?
I mean, it wasn't big, but it wasn't like usually those dogs are super small.
That's right.
And this one was like medium sized.
Ooh, okay.
But she was super nice to everyone. I was going to say something because she listens to Stuff You Should Know. I know that for a fact.
Uh-huh.
And apparently wants to get into podcasting. And like my boss texted me and I was like, didn't you say she listened to Stuff You Should Know? He's like, dude, go talk to her. He's like, she wants to podcast and just like start that conversation. And I never did.
Oh, man.
I was gonna, but you know.
That's a weird one, right? On a plane.
Literally the only opportunity was at one point she got up to go to the bathroom and was like waiting there outside the bathroom. I was like, I could go, you know, do that now, but no.
No. I think that was the right move. That would have been a little bit of an odd encounter. Yeah. It might have gone beautifully. You don't know. Who knows? I just feel like approaching anybody on a plane, everyone's at their worst. Everyone's at their worst on a plane. Like nobody wants to be talked to by anybody.
No.
You know?
All right. Let's move on to the final one then, Noel.
All right.
We have one more social studies for the worst. All right, Noel, let's finish it off. We're just going to buzz through these quickly because we've been running our mouths because we haven't seen each other. Final social studies for this week's theme, the worst. Worst casting for a specific role, not like, you know, ensemble. And, of course, there are some that point out the racist casting, so... we're going to go ahead and start one off with Monty Sardina. John Wayne played Genghis Khan. Let us remember that.
With the weird little thin mustache.
Yeah, pretty bad. William Angus says Hayden Christensen in those Star Wars prequels.
Yeah, just bad all around.
Yeah. Jacqueline Gulbranson is in my camp with Cameron Diaz in Gangs of New York.
You were that was the one you said, like, you liked everything about the movie except that.
Yeah.
Like, it took you out of it.
Took me out of it.
Yeah.
Caleb Morris says, Russell Crowe is Javert.
Javert.
I've seen that. Why did I say Javert?
Javert.
God, I'm the worst.
No, you're not, Chuck. This is the worst.
But the movie was Les Miserables.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, man, he couldn't sing very well. And he, yeah, yeah, that was the big part. Like, you know, everyone else was just killing it, belting out, because they all sang live in that that filming.
You know what? If it was just a non-musical, he could have been a good Javert.
That's true. That's true. Are you talking about the Javert Center in New York?
Yeah, the Jacob Javert Center. Yeah. Chad Forster says, Keanu Reeves in blank movie. Oh, come on.
Not
I just
nice.
Saw Point Break for this.
I love Point Break.
Yeah, dude, that's Jordan Morris's movie.
So good. Who?
Jordan Morris.
Oh, it's a very L.A. movie. They do like screenings of that at like the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Oh, yeah, I could totally
sure.
see that.
So cool. Now, here's the thing. Keanu Reeves is Keanu Reeves. He's going to be Keanu Reeves.
He's great.
Here's a bad casting for Keanu Reeves was him in Dracula because he had to act a little bit and do like a British accent.
Yeah,
that was garbage.
That was miscast.
That was miscast. Well, there you go. That's my pick.
Yeah. TJ Danny says Emma Stone in Aloha, which I did not see. Samantha HL, Denise Richards in The World Is Not Enough. Yeah. I think she played like a nuclear scientist or something like that.
Mm.
Vanessa Lopez, our old pal, says Johnny Depp in a variety of things. Enough already. And Ben Affleck in Batman. She said an actual bat would have made a better Batman.
That's pretty funny.
That's funny, Vanessa. It's good stuff. And yeah, Ben Affleck, what? He didn't need to be Batman.
No.
Those are just going to go down as so, like, forgettable.
Very, very free. He was also part of, like, this big ensemble cast, and he got lost in the shuffle anyway.
Oh,
right?
For
he
Justice League?
He didn't even make, like, a solo Batman movie. He was all part of – he was in Suicide Squad really briefly, and I think he
Anyone
was
Anyone coming out or no?
I don't know if he's going to get a standalone Batman. I think they've already moved on.
Yay.
I think they've already got a new Batman.
We'd like you to be our ensemble Batman.
They should give it back to Keaton.
Bale?
No, Keaton, man.
Keaton?
Bring back Keaton.
Old Batman?
Old Batman. He'd be old as hell by now.
Yeah, they should just call it O-L-E, a little apostrophe, yeah. Batman.
Old Batman. I love that. Hollywood, take note.
Oh, goodness. Tom Cruise is The Last Samurai. Stephen Collins says that. Keith Edwards says ScarJo in Ghost in the Shell. I didn't see that.
That was another one where like she should have been a Japanese character.
Oh, really?
Based on the comics or whatever. Or gotcha. I'm sorry, the anime.
Teresa Barker says Meg Ryan in Restoration. Meg Mater Torin says... Tom Cruise as Lestat. Yeah, that was bad casting.
Bad accent. That also falls into bad accents. And
yeah, bad everything.
Yeah.
Another vote for Javert from Alex Buck. Andrea Hammond says Halle Berry as Storm. I always thought Angela Bassett would have been way better. Oh, I thought Halle Berry was pretty good as Storm.
She's fine.
But Angela Bassett would have maybe been a little better.
She's supposed to be from South Africa, I want to say, the character Storm.
Oh, really?
And I don't think she even attempted to do any kind of
No, there's accents. No accent, I don't think.
Yeah.
John Lithgow in Cliffhanger, that's from Eric Yoner. I didn't see Cliffhanger. Can you believe that?
Wait, John Lithgow, he was the villain.
Yeah.
He was cool.
I didn't even see
it. I liked him.
That's one of my big Sylvester Stallone holes.
Yeah, it's a big one. No, it's the one where he's a, you know, he's a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I know the
movie.
He
hangs off of the cliffs.
Yeah. And the lady's in it.
That's right.
From, no, I don't know. Which one? The lady from the show.
The lady from the show?
What China Beach, right? Wasn't it the lady from China Beach?
I don't know what China Beach is.
Oh, God. I got to look it up now. I usually don't do this, but I want to. I don't want to disrespect her. Janine Turner. No. Jeez. She was from Northern.
Northern She's, Exposure?
Yeah. Like, I got her confused.
Okay.
With the lady from China Beach. And I love Northern Exposure.
That's one with the moose, right? There's a moose in that show.
Well, there was, yeah sure.
Okay,
there was
cool,
a moose.
Cool, cool.
Very famously. Dana Delaney, that's who I was thinking. Get it together, Chuck.
You got it together, Chuck. You're doing great.
It's for Jacking Off!
Ah! See?
You just got to say it.
It's really fun. And he says it with such disdain.
Oh, yeah. It's
as though I masturbating know, like, makes you a serial killer
exactly.
alone.
Like, I never really
you
thought
degenerate
of,
pervert!
I never thought about that equivalency. You're masturbating. yeah. Jennifer Mudge, the Mudster, says Cameron Diaz in Gangs of New York. Rachel Corston says Michael Gambon as Dumbledore. Noel, comment?
No.
Okay.
He's the guy who replaced the dude who was so great who passed away, I believe, after the first movie. And then Michael Gambon came on and replaced him.
No, I don't know. Yeah. I know nothing about this novel.
This is what you know when you're a Potterhead like me, Chuck. You got to know all of this, the deets about production. You know about on the Potter movies.
Are you a Pothead?
I'm a bit of a Potterhead. I'm a Pothead. Yeah, that's good.
You like that?
I do like that.
See what I did there? David Satterfield says Nicolas Cage, bad casting in everything except Sailor or H.I. McDonough.
Oh. I do think Nicolas Cage is one of those actors that has to be used correctly by a director that understands how to wield him and his awesome power that is Nicolas Cage-ness.
Yeah, but use him like he gets used and he does so many things.
I guess
so. He's so indiscriminate.
Well, that's the thing though, right?
Right.
Sometimes they just like wind him up and let him go. And then sometimes they're like cast him interestingly, like an adaptation.
Right.
And direct him interestingly. And then
sure.
he's like
no,
an amazing actor. But when they just let him go and do his thing, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, that's true. Andy Samberg's Nick Cage was so good back in the day on SNL.
I don't think I ever saw him do that.
Oh, it was great. And there was one moment where he came on and he was on Weekend Update. And he said, they were talking about some movie and he went, "This has all the qualifications of a Nicolas Cage movie. Number one, it exists."
That's right.
That line always stuck with me.
That's good.
All right, let's do a couple more and then get out of here, my friend.
Sure thing.
Julio Quesada says, Hilary Swank in Million Dollar Baby. Wow.
That is a hot take right there, my friend.
That's controversial, yeah, I think, a little bit.
She won the Oscar.
Deb Sanders says, Clooney in Thin Red Line. Ooh.
You know,
love the movie.
I haven't seen Thin Red. I actually rented it and didn't watch it recently.
She says, too much swagger.
Too much swagger. Okay, I'm going to check it out. I also haven't seen Band of Brothers. I really want to watch that, too.
Oh, yeah. I never saw that either.
It's good.
I heard it was good, too. Guy Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch is Khan in Star Trek. And then we'll finish out here with Nicole Crilly, Gary Oldman in Harry Potter. Well, I didn't know he was in Harry Potter.
Yeah, he plays Harry's uncle, Sirius Black.
See?
Yeah.
She said he's supposed to be about 30. Gary Oldman's like in his 60s.
But Gary Oldman is such a good actor, he could play a child if he wanted to, Chuck.
Goo goo gaga.
He really could.
He pulls it off.
And people would give him awards.
All right, everyone. That's it for this week. We got to crush it on out of here. Thanks for listening, and good day to you all.
Indeed.